from 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Lego.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Have you chatted with Mendoza yet?
He said, I want to be the best quarterback when I take the field in the NFL.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, the Ringer NFL draft analyst Todd McShay. Coming up, former NFL general manager Mike Mayock. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. My buddy Mike Mayock is going to join us in about 20 minutes' time to give us his thoughts on the NFL Scouting Combine. We're in March, everybody. Yeah, it's the month of madness, the month of Mike Del Tufo's birthday. Is that the madness, Mike?
Big 6-0 this year, Rich.
Oh! So it's 10 years since you had your famous party where you gave out laminates to different types of friends of yours?
Two VIPs
for your 50th. It's been 10 years?
Guess what? No VIPs this time. We spent enough on that one. We're done.
Huh. Wow. All right. What else this month? World Baseball Classic is this month.
WBC is
opening day is this month.
Yeah. Yep, opening day.
Okay. Yep. NFL free agency is this month. That's the madness. Is a frenzy and then a madness. Free agency frenzy and then March madness.
Giannis is back tonight. Maybe Tatum this weekend.
Woo. I thought Tatum was supposed to be back last night.
Well, I don't know.
Didn't happen?
Didn't need him.
Okay. Knicks took care of the Spurs, huh? How about them apples?
Yeah, Spurs are hot.
How about that?
NBA is about to heat up, I think.
When? Will you let me know?
I feel like now. Now is like, you know, we're at the 60-game mark, so there's only 20-ish games left in the playoffs. I think now is go time.
I definitely think that there are some people who might have not been able to control themselves, might have gotten a little bit down a leg just seeing the screen grab of Jokic in the middle of the fight that he had with Oklahoma City.
Well, you know,
that was amazing.
He was now, I don't want know what any, time it was.
I don't want anybody knowing or looking at me like that.
No.
Nope.
Ever.
Nope. I sent that to Brockman and those shakes. I wasn't sure if you were watching it. It was frightening look on that man.
That look in his face is just something that I would never want to be on the business end of something.
Especially like when you weren't even the one who made him mad. Like Jalen Williams. Big ups. You jumped into the fray because Lou Dort, you know, that's one of your little fellows who's a big guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But he took that stare and he, you know, he didn't back down.
We've seen Jokic's brothers, so it's in there. You know what I mean? He had to, you know, fight for dinner too.
Right. And he's the youngest, right? He's the baby.
So
yeah, babies.
I'm
fight.
Just saying.
We fight.
Good to know. Good to know.
Yeah, but you don't so like I would that say, look, man.
I'd say the NBA's heated up there.
NBA's heating up, yeah.
No. And what's crazy is after all that, you know, they take, you know, 5-10 minutes, let's go over, blah, 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 technicals thrown out, whatever. And then they go back out and they're guarding each other right away. Yeah. And I'm like, how do you even go back about your business at that point?
How about the horn in Detroit taking 5 minutes to turn off? Did you see that?
I heard.
First ever horn delay?
I didn't hear it. I didn't see it. I read it.
Horn delay.
It was.
I know.
They stopped the game because they couldn't. Somebody checked. It was the everlasting check-in. Yeah. Somebody kept on, like, did
button.
I wonder, did somebody, like, at some point just, like, slam their fist on it? Like, remember your TV back in the day had bad antenna? You just slap it on the side hoping it would fix it?
It happened a lot back in the
Did scramble. They plug it and unplug it? That's the way I fix everything.
the old Nintendo.
Yeah, you did they blow
on
one
a little
blow,
bit?
Blowing the tape?
Yeah,
a great NBA roundup, guys.
I mean,
that was great. That was really well done.
Yeah, thank you.
This one hit my timeline. Our buddy Ross Tucker, his podcast. He interviewed Jackson Dart. Did you see this one?
No.
No.
Yeah. Listen. All right, you tell me how you take this soundbite.
Okay.
I've been talking about his style of play.
Sure.
And whether it's going to be rectified. Mm. Hit it.
It's very situational based. I mean, first, second down, like, all right, let's be good with our bodies here. Like, let's not take anything that's unnecessary. In crucial situations, you know, I promise you I'm not going to be the one that's going to slide before that first down. Like, I'm going to give it everything I got to go get that first down. And really, like, play the game as hard as I can. And that's the style that I played since I can ever remember. So why would I change it? It's kind of my mindset. So really just making sure that I'm being smart. But yeah, I think the narrative has kind of got drawn out. Like, I feel like way more people just talk about that side of the things than just like, oh, how did the game go? How's he playing or whatnot? But, you know, I'm going to continue to play the game that I played my whole life. I love this sport. I think you can go back. I've played big time football for the last 4 or 5 years and I've missed 2 games. So when you look at an availability standpoint, like, I'm out there for my team and, I'm going to make sure that I can put, you know, my best product on display and be a really good leader for the guys around me.
I like it.
You do.
I do.
Giants fans.
You know, situationally, I don't love that part, but
yeah,
but
that's the problem.
Everything else,
that's the entire. What do you mean? That's the entire problem.
I mean, he is right. He's only missed a couple of games.
I got it.
The data to back it up.
I understand that, but we don't need a big blue tent brought to you by fill in a blank.
Yeah,
MetLife
makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, come on, man.
I get you.
I heard that, and I'm like, darn it. I think John, you know, he also did say that the two of them, he and John Harbaugh, get along because John's just as aggressive. But I think at the end of the day, John will
he'll reel that in.
Talk about sliding on third down. Situationally sliding. If he wants to talk, like, in the situation, it should include a slide. You know what I mean? Because
is he going to be out there in training camp with the big thing sliding and working on the prow? Who do they do that for?
What's
team?
The big thing? What are you talking about?
Like a slip and slide.
Yeah, like almost like a slip and slide at training camp where they're practicing sliding.
Yeah, but that's even more dangerous than the NFL. A slip and slide. How many kids wind up in slings and casts when I was a kid on the slip and slide?
They use soapy water on it. It was just like a mess.
Yeah, I mean, it's like an action park on the lawn.
Yes. Alpine slide. You don't want to go anywhere near that thing.
That's
a problem. Dangerous.
But he,
Come on,
around the Super Bowl time, I saw a video with him and Stephen A. They were backstage at some function.
Yeah.
And he literally said to Stephen A., I guess they had been talking about it. And his reply was, don't worry, I get it. And he pointed to his head. He goes, I get it.
Yeah, okay. But that doesn't, let me just say this.
If they have Jeremiah Love, he's not going to have to even think about sliding too much because he ain't going to be running with the ball.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
I think when I hear this,
what do you
that
think?
John Harbaugh is going to get a handle on it, and that if anybody sits here and thinks that let's put it this way, Jackson Dart saying there's a narrative out there. The reason why the narrative continues is because we still haven't heard yet. I understand. I get it. Even Christian Ellis didn't take care of it. That one against the Giants was deep into the season, deep into multiple blue tent visits.
He got racked.
This is after the narrative had been formulated and crystallized.
I understand.
And discussed over and over.
And he still didn't get out of bounds. And then you even hear NFL Films picking up footage of the Patriots planning for him saying, the kid doesn't like getting out of bounds, so let's basically teach him a lesson.
I'm watching this hit right now.
It's absurd.
He goes airborne.
And it's just, you know what? If you're not situationally going for it on third down because you're trying to preserve yourself, you know what comes after third down? Fourth down. You know what you could do on fourth down?
Go for it. Unless you play for the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Because they don't.
Okay.
Well, they don't have.
I love his moxie. My God.
Of course.
He's the king of New York. He could be the king of New York, this guy. John Harbaugh is now your coach. Okay. He's changing situationally a lot in that building, the way they do things situationally there in New York. An all-time terrific NFL head coach is coming in and being the Sherpa. Awesome. Let's just leave the scrambled eggs to the craft services.
Nice.
That's all I'm saying.
Right. Yeah, you want
aggressive is one thing, but just like, you know, hey, I'm a kid who only knows how to play one way. Well, guess what? There's been a ton of kids who've only know how to play one way, and the one way that they have after that is the one out the door. Out the door. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Oh, we haven't finished the Jerry Jones sound bites? Is that true?
No.
Oh,
there's more.
Oh, baby.
Oh,
popcorn ready.
Hey now.
Unk.
Unk.
Get your damn act together.
Oh, yeah. I think, by the way, I believe this looks like he's holding this press session on the
bus. It's a bus, right? It's a bus.
If this one, I'm thinking.
The bus?
Yeah. Oh, that's the bus.
By the way, that's my favorite part of the combine.
The bus.
You know the Joneses are in town when that bus is parked. You see it everywhere. And they take it everywhere.
I took like 40 pictures of the bus.
Honestly.
The bus is the best.
They take it like four blocks to dinner.
Yep. They do.
As you should.
You know when he's eating at St. Elmo's. That's for sure.
The bus.
The bus is right out there.
What, you expect him to walk those streets? Come on.
No.
Restaurant bus. That's it.
You know what I mean? Let's hop on the bus.
We ain't walking for it.
Let's go out. Let's hop on the bus and go four city blocks.
Although, Rich, you've always said this, and now we got to experience Indianapolis.
It's a walking
city. You don't have to go outside.
That's right.
We walked 10,000 feet and never touched the ground. We were inside all of these buildings by a walkway. It was amazing.
The best city with inside when it's cold out. It is.
It doesn't matter when you got your own bus.
That's true.
Okay. This is him talking about spending in free agency.
Yeah.
By the way, there's $60 million over the... This is a man saying this soundbite, currently $60 million over the cap.
Over.
But he also knows he's got the ability to move things around. Hit it.
Do I see me ending up spending more money than maybe if you put a perfect picture together that the guy that's back there looking at the account would say we don't have any or don't have enough? I could see me being aggressive. I could see us being aggressive. In free agency, and I, by the very virtue of having two number ones, we're going to spend more money in the draft than normally you would spend, even though we don't have a two. Everybody knows those two ones are dramatically different than one is than a two financially. To answer your question specifically, I would bet that we will spend more money in free agency than we have.
There you go, TJ.
Hey, oh, yeah.
Maxing out on the free agency credit card.
Yeah, man.
Ride or die.
He also said, and I don't know if we have this sound.
I think we do.
Oh, we have. Okay, I'll
show
you.
The one that you're all excited about?
Yeah.
You're all excited about this one?
That's going on the board at some point.
What's the setup, Mike Hoskins, here for this soundbite?
I'm back.
Oh, where? Yeah. The money.
Yeah.
That you're spending.
Where's it going to go?
Where's it going? Where's it going, Jerry? Where's it going?
I want to do everything we possibly can to stop somebody and to basically win some third downs more than we did last year. And so I think that would be the area that you would see me bust the budget. You said that earlier. That was where you would see me do that is what we're doing defensively. And I would expect anybody that's a Cowboy fan or a critic of the Cowboys to say, duh, that's not hard to see, Jerry, to do. But I guess what I'm doing is saying, yes, I intend to do that if given the opportunity.
Bust the budget.
BTB, bust the budget, baby. That's the motto. All right. Remember, all in was the motto the one year. I had to hear about that all offseason. All in. No, I'm taking control of this narrative, baby. BTB, we're busting the budget. Let's go.
This takes a nice chunk out of the pie.
Let's go.
We're going to have to clip that as a drop.
Which is what? Duh,
bust
Jerry?
The budget.
Duh, Jerry.
Well, duh, Jerry's good and bust the budget's good.
Come on.
Yeah, those are good.
Bust the budget.
Jerry.
I'm looking who they're playing. Other than the
I live life.
We're budget busting.
No, a second.
We got Cowboys schedule?
I'm already thinking.
All right, I got it.
Not budget busting, baby.
Because I see who they're playing. They're playing the 49ers at home.
Yeah. NFC West.
At the Texans.
I did say they were going to the Super Bowl.
They're coming here.
At Seattle. Well,
they are going to the Super Bowl stadium.
Yeah.
They're visiting the Rams next year.
I said
year.
The Texans were going to the Super Bowl.
At Green Bay.
How about at Seattle?
They got a hard schedule, man.
Would the league start the Cowboys on the road in the stadium of the Super Bowl winner
for
a second straight year? Would they do that to Dallas again?
Well, you know, you always want to put varsity up first, right? You want to have your marquee team start.
That's where I put them.
Right.
Yeah.
That first Sunday in Seattle.
But I don't
would
want
they
to
do that
first?
Again.
Oh, that would be.
Because I'll say this. If Jerry busts the budget in on defense, and that includes also, because don't forget, you know, we just a couple hours ago, Tom Pelissero pointed out it's a very real possibility that Max Crosby gets moved. And if he gets moved, it's entirely possible the Dallas Cowboys say, we've got the 12th overall pick and we've got another player, or we've got another draft choice in next year's draft that we can flip to you if you want.
Now,
we can do this.
I think that opener is either Bears or Rams.
Yeah, I don't
know. No, but I'm just talking about, you're just taking a look at what. If the Dallas Cowboys get their defensive act together.
I'll get your damn act together.
And you know, in free agency and the draft, you're just, take a look at his Pat. His Pats went from 4 wins to 14 wins to the Super Bowl.
They had to spend a lot of cream, though.
True.
Yeah, I mean,
so let's just sit here and say if they get the defensive side of the ball right.
And we keep the offense.
Well, you're going to
upgrade a little bit.
You just franchise tag George Pickens.
Yeah, upgrade that line a little bit.
All he's got to do is not shake Jerry's hand and he will.
Yep.
You know?
Also,
and he'll be fine and he'll still be a Cowboy. If they do that, then they have the Ravens at home. They're at the Packers, home for the Bucs. They're at the Seahawks. They're at the Rams.
Ooh, this is
they're
tough.
At the Texans. They're home for the Niners. And then they have their own division schedule. It would be on. It would be on. Now, last time Jerry said you should sleep well. I traded Mike anyway.
Yeah, I did not sleep well.
Last time you referenced it, he said, we're going all in.
Yeah, I hated that.
And he's not only did he not go all in, it basically changed everybody's version of what all in actually meant.
Yeah.
Because let's not forget, he went all in, and we're like, he's going to be all in on free agency. And we even created the Jerry Jones telethon tote board.
Yes.
And it stood at zero forever.
Forever.
Yep. Yep.
Forever.
Okay.
I hate this too.
We need to see it first.
I loved it, TJ.
We need to see it. I like hearing it.
I mean,
I like hearing it.
It was great.
I know you like hearing it, but then there's a difference between the talking and the doing.
You have got to be smoking something over there this morning.
So, I don't know.
I mean,
that tote board was zero until they re-signed their own long snapper or something.
Right.
We had a party in here for that.
By the way, that was a crucial move. Don't ever get it twisted. All right.
Okay.
Long snappers are hard to come by. That's why they play 15 years.
Okay. Let's take a break, everybody. Mike Mayock's about to join us next here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll ask him all about those valuable long snappers.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Rich Eisen here. The tax deadline will be here before you know it. And you just want to know your taxes are actually being handled. But the old way? You hand everything off and then silence. Days pass, weeks pass. You start wondering, should I send another follow-up email? It feels like you're chasing updates and getting nowhere. But now, taxes are different because your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full service expert. With Intuit TurboTax, you can match with your dedicated tax expert and hand off everything right in the app. And while your expert checks for every deduction, you'll see real-time updates on your phone so you always know exactly where things stand. Suddenly, you're not refreshing your inbox. You're going for a run, grabbing a coffee, scrolling anything other than a just checking in message, because your TurboTax expert is handling it and keeping you in the loop. So this tax season, get your best possible outcome and every dollar you deserve without the guesswork. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax Full Service Experts.
In a world in need of a hero, one man rises to the challenge in style. He is just driving the kids to soccer practice. Make every day feel epic in an all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid with up to an EPA-estimated 619 miles of range on select trims, advanced tech, and class-leading interior space. Because when you're hauling kids' gear, snacks, and backpacks, space matters. And so does comfort. Just make sure they keep their cleats off the seats. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for details.
Save money and get a better view of the road when you replace your worn-out wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, save $10 on a pair of Rain-X Latitude wiper blades. They feature beam blade technology to improve windshield contact for maximum visibility. The professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades for free. Choose Rain-X Latitude wiper blades at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
My buddy Mike Mayock is here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience just returned. The evaluation produced by Sumer Sports. A new position drops every Thursday on Sumer Sports YouTube channel and featuring in part Mike Mayock here on the program. Yeah. All right, Mike, you watching the combine, you seeing all these kids work out. Do you have a general sense of the draft so far? What do you think?
It was obviously apparent. And you guys made a big deal out of how every position group got faster except quarterback, which doesn't even matter.
Right.
But just the speed that some of these guys are moving at. Going into the combine, I'm worried about different position groups and some guys I want to see. And I mean, right off the top, I wanted to see what Jeremiah Love weighed in at. Because when I watched his tape this fall, my final evaluation was basically, look, if he's 195 pounds, I've got one view. If he's 210, I got another view. And he came in at 212 pounds, around 4.36, and had a great workout. So for me and some of my buddies around the league, I think that took away some of that. Is he kind of a third down guy that can't carry a load? Or at 212, I mean, that's legit. And you know, Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson went 8 and 12 in the same year. And you got to make a decision. Every franchise that has a top 10 or 15 pick, like, is this kid going to help change who we are offensively, just like Gibbs and Bijan Robinson have done? So I kind of felt like that was the first thing I looked for. I wanted to see what the kid weighed in at. So I had a verified weight and then how he moved at that weight.
Yeah, we talked with Todd McShay earlier, Mike, and we're just noticing that what if there's a draft where the best players are safeties, running backs, and interior linemen or tackles who might be kicked inside? Like, what happens if those are your best players and those are potentially the difference makers and you've got a top five, if not a top 10 pick? Do you fire in that direction or not? And I'm wondering what your two cents on the subject matter are.
I think it's pretty simple. If a kid's a dynamic player at any position, you take them, especially if it matches up with any type of need. Are you not going to take Zach Martin at 6 or 8 or 10 or whenever he was taken, the big lineman out of Notre Dame because he was a guard? Are you not going to take Jahmyr Gibbs or Bijan Robinson? Are you not going to take the safety from Baltimore, Hamilton, that went at 14? Are you not going to take the safety in the Chargers? If he's a difference maker, if he's dynamic, I think you have to take him. End of story.
End of story. Is Sonny Styles that guy?
I'm a big fan. I'm happy you mentioned him because I didn't even write him down today. But I started watching him in 23 when he was a boundary safety and a dime. And he was this big, good-looking safety. And I'm trying to figure out what he's going to turn into. And what he turned into was this. In 24, they moved him to off-the-ball linebacker, and you could see spurts of being special. However, his instincts were tough because it was a brand-new position, off-the-ball linebacker. He wasn't coming downhill. He wasn't being heavy. That all changed this year. I mean, you saw a combination of an unbelievable set of physical traits combined with a guy that was getting used to playing a new position. I think he's a you know, he's a top 10 pick in any draft. I don't care if it's 2 or 5 or 8. He's really a good football player. That kid I love.
And so we are all assuming Fernando Mendoza goes one, Mike. And then So the Jets have they're the first on the clock of this. What do you do, right? What do you do when you got edge rushers and you got Sonny Styles sitting there who can be as special as anybody? What do you do at 2?
What do you've think? You've got Sonny Styles. You've got Arvell Reese.
You got Bailey, too.
And Bailey's another conversation I want to have in a minute. I'm not quite as high as everybody on Bailey. But Sonny Styles, Arvell Reese, I'm not as high as a lot of people in the safety from Ohio State either. That's one where I go, I don't see him. Caleb Downs, I love him as a player, but I don't see him as a dynamic difference maker. So I don't see him as a top 10 pick. Now, that's just my own evaluation. I did 2 years of his tape. But Arvell Reese, I think, is dynamic. I think the off-the-ball linebacker, Sonny Styles, is dynamic. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Bailey is dynamic. I just think he has to be more consistent. If you're the Jets, Rich, to me, you're not even thinking. You got 2 picks in the first round. And unless you're going to try and move down or up later on that second pick, I just think you're trying to get really good football players with the thought process of hopefully next year you're going to get your quarterback and have an ability to surround them. But, where do you go if you're the Jets at the quarterback position? Top of the second round, Ty Simpson. Is he the answer you really want there? He's a one-year starter, and we all know what the history of one-year starters in the first round has been at that position. I mean, with less than 20 starts, the only guy that ever had any success in the last 20 years is Cam Newton. And the list is like Anthony Richardson, Mitch Trubisky, Dwayne Haskins, Mark Sanchez, Trey Lance, Ryan Tannehill, and Cam Newton with 14 starts is the only guy with an overwhelming physical trait set. He's the only one that became anything good on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets had a choice when they finally flipped Quinnen Williams to the Cowboys about when to ask for the compensation. And it seems like they're putting their eggs in the 2027 basket, Mike. It seems like a lot of teams might have made that decision last year, the Jets being one of them. So that's down the road. And then, you know, interesting. So let me just revisit if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure.
Caleb Downs, you don't think he's a top 10? What did you see on his film, on his tape, that you still need to see a little bit more?
No, it's not even that, Rich. And the kid, don't get me wrong.
I know.
He is a hell of a football player.
Right.
Okay? He's a first-round safety. Gotcha. I'm in. I think he's smart. I think he's instinctive. I think he's tough. He tackles. He can play in the box. He can play it free. So he does all these things. I don't see it as many dynamic plays on the ball as you'd like to see from a top 10 safety. And that might be because that Ohio State defense is so freaking gifted.
Right.
You know, so I could very well be wrong here, but I have done a lot of work on him on this whole defense because they're so damn good, so talented. And I'm pounding I think he's a first round pick. I just don't think in the top 10 at safety, if you're not turning the ball over, or have the potential to get it turned over more often, I'm not sure you go there.
All right, so then who did you see over the weekend, or who are you eager to see over the weekend that checked a box or two for you that might not be on other people's radar screens, Mike? Who jumped out at you?
Yeah, interesting, Rich, because you mentioned Bailey. He's got a teammate at Texas Tech named Romello Height.
Mm-hmm.
And Romello Height weighed in about 10 pounds lighter than Bailey did. If you put the tape on when they played Utah, and Utah's got the two potential first-round tackles, right? They've got Fano and Lomu. It looked like a track meet running past the two Utah tackles with these two kids, Bailey and Height. Height is not as physically powerful, which is my big issue with him. If you have short arms, you better be powerful. But he's so gifted coming off the edge. I think there's going to be some conversation because he ran 1.63 in the 10 Bailey was 1.62, same neighborhood. And he jumped 39 inches and 10.5. I mean, the kid's explosive lower body. I haven't heard a whole lot about him, and I'm anxious to hear. I think he's a second-day pick. I think he's a 34 outside linebacker and a designated pass rusher, and I enjoyed watching him move around. Couple other defensive tackles. You guys, I think, had a Caleb Banks conversation. I think I caught the tail end of that, Rich.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was hurt last year, a lot of the year. He was kind of out of shape at different points in his career. But when he's in shape, when he's 6'0", 6'2", he was 327 at the combine. I'm guessing that's down a good 20 pounds at least. Big, long arms, wingspan. He ran 5.05. I think he's running himself right into the first round. I think he's really talented. There's a kid from Florida State nobody talks about, the big defensive tackle, Darryl Jackson. He's another 6'5". He's 315. He probably played closer to 330, 35-inch arms. The 3-4 teams are going to love him. He can play nose or 5 technique even more, which is the defensive end in the 3-4. That's another kid I think is going to go on the second day that nobody's really talking about. And then you can even go deeper down to the guy who I've not done any tape on, this Takario Davis from Washington, the corner. I mean, the dude's 6'4", 194,
yeah,
with 34-inch arms, and he ran 4.41. So you and I used to have these conversations all the time. What does the combine really mean? And I always said it was kind of a cross-check. It would make me go back and watch more tape. Or I haven't even seen any tape of this kid, but I have in my notes, You better go watch 3 games of this kid, because, you know, everybody was talking about him as a late round pick, but man, he could be starting in the Super Bowl for Seattle next year.
How about that?
Right?
Yeah, I know, because they may need that. It's funny, back in the day, right? Fast wide receivers, anybody fast, that's a Raider. You know, Al Davis can take him. You get any tall corners, you're like, that's a Seahawk. Yeah. You know, certainly if they're playing in Washington State at the University of Washington, in the state of Washington already. And interesting, like Daniel Jeremiah, Mike, had one moment where he said he reverse engineers his notes sometimes too, that for instance, with Reuben Bain, he never wrote down once watching a game, his arms are too short.
Right.
But then you go to the combine and his arms are too short and you're like, I never wrote that down. Where if he does write it down and then the arms are too short, that's not a box check. That might be a box X'd potentially. Where do you stand on the subject of Reuben Bain's vines, to use your phrase, about his arms, Mike? What about that?
First of all, I'd like to hear somebody tell me why the arm measurements from the Senior Bowl to the combine are so different. I'm not talking about Bain. But right.
They get every longer. Year, they get longer, right?
It's one of the things I cross-check every year. Like, the Senior Bowl is longer this year than the combine, and I'm just like,
I don't know.
He's barely under 31 inches. So the question is, does that make a difference? And I would say most of the time it does. And the difference is you've got to have elite power to be able to get in tight on a tackle if you got 31-inch arms. And I also believe that with the guy I just mentioned, Romello Height, who was short, like, do you have the power to get inside? Okay. Mm-hmm. And you look at someone like Fano. Wasn't Fano's now an offensive tackle? They're talking about moving to guard, but his feet are so good. He just has short arms, a little bit like Will Campbell. And I liked what Vrabel said after the Super Bowl. He was like, hey, he played a lot of good football for us. He was hurt. He's not moving from left tackle. I don't want to hear the arm thing. For an offensive tackle, if you have short arms, what happens is you kind of shorten the corner. You make an easier corner to turn for all those speed guys. But to answer your original question about Bain, I actually did what you just said Daniel did. I went back after the combine last night, and I pulled all my notes out on Bain and Romello Height, mm-hmm, because in my notes, if a guy gets stuck on blocks too often, that's a red flag to go look to see his arm length. And I do have some Bain getting stuck. I do have some Romello Height getting stuck. Now, that doesn't mean every player gets stuck occasionally, and I'm not trying to make this an issue.
Right.
I do believe Reuben Bain's power and his explosion is more than enough, to offset his short arm.
Mike Mayock, a few minutes left with my buddy here on the Rich Eisen Show. Everyone, again, check out the evaluation produced by Sumer Sports every Thursday. A new position drops on the Sumer Sports YouTube channel. Your crown jewel in many ways of your time with the Raiders, Mike, let me get this right, 106th overall pick of the 2019 draft in the fourth round, Max Crosby, might be on the trading block right now. What do you think of when you hear that topic, Mike?
First of all, it is 106 because Max has it tattooed on his body.
That's right.
That's right. Which isn't a big deal because he has most of everything tattooed on his body.
That is true. That's right.
But I'm pretty close with Max, and here's how I feel personally. Mm-hmm. I love his loyalty. I love that he's done nothing but tell everybody he wants to be a Raider for life. Mm-hmm. I think he felt disrespected at the end when he got shut down, even though there might have been good thoughts from the organization side about that. But I think that bothered him. And what I would love for him more than anything is to finish. I think he's 29 years old. How many years? He's got 3, 4, 5, whatever it is left. I want him to finish up like Chris Long did. You know, Chris Long played with the Rams for a lot of years and lost a lot of football games. He signed as a free agent with New England, won a Super Bowl. The next year he signed with Philadelphia, won another Super Bowl. I think Max thirsts for playing in games that matter in January and February. I think that is an all-consuming goal for him. And if it's with the Raiders, God bless him. But I don't know where that's going to be. And if he makes a move, God bless him. I just want him to play in games that matter.
And in terms of that deal, just put your general managing hat on. Take the heart out of it here. What do you think? What do you think a compensation is? Does it have to happen between now and new league year? The draft is the midnight strike on it. Like, what do you think, Mike?
Well, I think certainly the draft is the drop dead point because they're going to want compensation to happen this year, right? So something would have to happen between now and then. Everybody's talking about is a couple first round picks and a player, and how comparable is he to the Dallas Cowboy trade that happened last year with Micah Parsons. Mike is younger, you know, Mike is a good 3 years younger. So I don't know if Max is going to demand the same, but he's going to be in that ballpark. And if you're a team that desperately needs not only a great player, but the kind of leadership you want to continue to push towards winning, Max is your guy. And if you're the Raiders, you know, I think it would pain them. I think their coaching staff and Spytek and Brady, I think all those guys do not want to move Max. However, if you get an overwhelming offer and you're rebuilding with a new quarterback again, then there's probably a set of circumstances that would get the Raiders to make the move.
Yeah, every Bears fan I ran into at the combine is like, please tell me it's we're going to get him, right? TJ's the resident Cowboy fan. Please tell me we're going to get him. Right? Like that they feel like he'd put these teams over the top. Like that would be the over the top acquisition. You know, that's all I heard from fans about Max.
And I think the fans are right. And I think that's what the GMs and head coaches are talking about right now. Like how much do we have to give up? And I'm sure there's a lot of conversations. The Raiders made it clear that they don't want to move him, but they're open to listening.
What does that mean? Interpret that for me.
You know what that means.
It's not enough.
We get the right thing, we're out. I mean,
right.
And that's what every GM says about everybody, that, you know, there's always a number for somebody. Mm-hmm. But I think now the door is open. The door has been cracked. Max made the statement. And even though Max has danced around it pretty well ever since he made a statement, basically that Jay Glazer, you know, paraphrased. At the end of the day, that door is open, and it's going to be interesting to see if a team comes in with enough to knock the door down.
You're the man, Mike. I saw Lee at the combine. She's crushing it. She's crushing it. So it was good to see her, and it's great to see you on my screen. And I'm going to reach out about doing this more often between now and the draft. Okay.
Sounds good, buddy. And again, I appreciate being on.
You're the best. Mike Mayock,
thanks.
My guy from back in the day, still my guy. Again, the evaluation produced by Sumer Sports, new position drops every Thursday on their YouTube channel. We take a break. We're back with more to finish up this show in just 2 minutes or so.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Back here on our program, sometimes teams take a timeout to regroup and call the right play. When it comes to your home, people, Pella Windows and Doors always has the winning game plan for you. They're not just window and door experts. They're experts at taking care of you and your home. At Pella, they find the products that meet your needs, and their experts install them. They do it every day, and that's why your neighbors trust them. Discover why Pella is a trusted choice for homeowners everywhere. Visit Pella.com/Eisen today. That's Pella.com/Eisen. All right, everybody.
Pella.
So.
You tired?
Yeah. You got to be, right?
You're probably going to nap all the rest of the
day. No, I can't. I can't do the napping.
No,
I do. Actually, Susie's probably like just drove off the road if she's listening. No, I do 15 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, 20. That's it.
That's okay. All you need.
Because you've put in work the last few days, my G. So
I appreciate
that. You deserve
that.
It.
That's a long
That's
day.
That's great. No, I love doing it. I love being out there. I love meeting people. I love doing all
Can I tell you something? You rarely ever sound arrogant or cocky when you're talking, right?
But okay. Like,
at one point.
Where's this going?
Well, at one point.
I know. I'm scared.
You were doing all of the. We had a bunch of. Post tapes and pre tapes
yes.
for the show to bank later. Mm-hmm. And I said to you, we're in the elevator, and you did them all on your own. I was like, are you good? Are you tired? And you looked at me and you were like, I'm built for this. And I was like, that's my man right there. That's my man right there.
Well, I mean, you know, Mike, he's been around.
Right there.
He's been around a long time. We did this on NFL Network. And then at the Super Bowls over and over again, just like speed dating interviewing. And I love it.
Yeah. It shows, it. Man.
It was fun. You guys, it was your first time at a combine, right?
It's great, right? In this capacity, yeah.
Right.
I went in the early days in NFL to do some graphics behind the scenes, but this was awesome.
Right.
I love seeing it up close.
Just kind of seeing the guys before they, you know, they blow up.
I find it interesting, the number of fans. I'm very appreciative of... you know, when people stop me and say nice things and whatever, and taking pictures. Number of Ohio State fans want to take pictures. It's interesting.
they're putting
it. Look, I mean, you guys feel the same way about each other. So,
yeah, you know, one guy even said to me at one point, you know, his kids were there and everything, and he's just like, you know, I won't bring up my Connor Stallions jokes.
I thought you were going to bring up the one particularly large Ohio State fellow we encountered at dinner. Oh, right. His name's Eddie Jordan.
Yep. He's coming on.
He ran up and was like, oh.
I know. H. He stood there and couldn't miss it. Couldn't miss it.
And he was, all the restaurant.
This was Thursday night, just fresh off of Sonny Styles and Arvel Reese doing their thing.
Yep.
And I told him, I told him what I said on the show on Friday, which is most impressive workout I've ever seen.
Yeah.
At the combine, Sonny Styles. And Arvel Reese looks like, I said RoboCop. What did Cyborg is what Todd McShay used to describe him. And he was just like crowing. And I just thought to myself, he's so happy about Ohio State. I just can't let this go another second. And he goes, well, what do you think? I'm like, it's amazing they didn't win more.
Oh, Rich.
Wow. Fair.
Not too far off.
Kind of fair.
You know? Yeah, the guy also had like this picture, this shirt said Beat Michigan, took the picture. He says to his wife, did you get the whole, you know, thing in? And I'm like, yeah, I assume that's what the point was, sir.
Wait a minute, you mean the M was actually in there?
The it M didn't was say etched Michigan? Out.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
That's what it said on the shirt.
beat Ishigan.
Beat Ishigan with a red X through the M. Like, okay.
Was it Caleb Downs? You're like, can you say the word?
And he said Michigan. Yeah. Because you know why? Because he's an adult. Because he already talked like a pro. Caleb Downs.
He wasn't
giving
anything up, though.
He's an adult. Yeah. That's why.
It was funny.
You know?
Did I tell you what Jeremiah Love told me?
Nope.
Okay, so after you interviewed him, you jumped into another interview. I forget who was up next. And Liz wanted me to give him one of the backpacks.
Yeah, our giveaways that we give to our guests.
Yeah, so
Daniel Jeremiah didn't get one. And he's just like, what gives? And
he blaming me.
I'm like, go ahead and text. I was sitting next to him. I'm like, text Brockman to
late
complain
night
about
DJ,
it.
I'm like, oh, what do we got?
I have anything to do with it. I'm like, yeah, give him crap for it.
So I waited.
He did it.
He had a couple interviews, and I waited, introduced myself, told him the show I was with, handed him the backpack, and I was like, you're going to mess up Rich's head with this information you told him for a while. And he looked at me, goes, you tell him that was Michigan's fault. So apparently, he wanted to go or something.
By the way, the only other first-round drafted running back from Notre Dame. Okay? Let me see. Let me make sure I'm getting this correct, this information correct. As a top 10 pick is Jerome Bettis.
I was about to say.
And what story does he tell?
It's a good one.
Same thing. He's from Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wanted to go to Michigan. Yep. They didn't want to let me play the position, so I went to Notre Dame. Same thing. That's fine. May he go to the Hall of Fame. And, you know, may he go to the Hall of Fame because he damn near beat my 40-yard dash on a false start. That's the sign of a Hall of Famer right there, man.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.